This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph Waters.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, our loving Savior. His words of love that have been spoken, these truths and bonds shall not be broken. Strength for today and for our lives, through our Almighty God.
Here in Matthew's Gospel is the last of Jesus' parables that we have recorded in our Gospels. And Dr. Wyatt relates the startling image of a judgment based upon our most insignificant actions.
Thank you, Dennis. This parable found in the 25th chapter of Matthew is unique in so many ways and speaks, of course, to what is our faith. It is often the small acts that prove to be the most important. Please stay with us.
For it will be, as when a man going on a journey called his servants and entrusted them to his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. The master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. The master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received 1 talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you do not winnow. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant! You say I reap where I have not sowed, and gather where I have not winnowed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was mine with interest. So take the talent from him, and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given. But from him who has not, even what he has shall be taken away. Cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. There men will weep and gnash their teeth.
Thank you, Sharon, so very much. This is the final parable of our Lord as recorded here in Matthew's Gospel. This is like the parable of the talents, which is as much an image of what the idea of being ready for his return means. For we are to learn that readiness is not mere waiting, but disciples are to be actively pursuing results, or active in service. That the time of waiting for the kingdom's coming is not to be an empty, meaningless delay. The kingdom, Jesus says, is like a man going on a journey. He was a man of great means and wishes that his wealth be used profitably while he is gone. So he calls his servants. They are not slaves, for these men are able to enter into various investments or financial arrangements, which we find will involve a large amount of money. One is given 5 talents, one 2 talents, and the other 1, to each according to his ability. A talent was not so much an amount of money, but primarily a measure of weight, the largest weight in normal use for precious metals. Its value was determined by whether it was gold, silver, or copper. However, given the size of a talent, it was usually silver, and represents a lot of money. And 5, a great deal of money. And 2 is not insignificant, nor is even 1 talent to be discarded. 2 silver talents would be more than a common laborer would earn in his entire lifetime. But here we are only to understand that each servant is given a large amount of money, each a different amount, as the master was considering the ability of each of his servants. He gives no instructions, as he did not want to inhibit them in any way, but for them to use their own initiative and insights. We do not want to mistake these talents that they are given as representing individual abilities. They just do not represent a person's ability, but the privilege, the opportunity to do something for the master, and thereby their own position before him. The first servant sets out immediately. He went at once and traded with these 5 talents. We are not told what he did other than he traded. He was involved with commerce. He was at work. As well, the second servant. And both of these men doubled what they had been given. The third servant was different. At this point, we are told nothing of what this man was thinking, only that rather than seeking some way to make something more, he but dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. His only interest was that the money be secure, and that he could produce it when it was necessary. Yes, there'd be no chance of loss, but neither would there be for increase. It is not that he did nothing wrong, it's just that he did nothing. He, in this manner, reveals what he feels towards this gift and the giver, his master. He behaves as one who has been given nothing. It is too much like many in our own congregations who, for whatever reason, refuse or are too involved in other things to use what God may have given them for the service of Christ. And as always, a day of reckoning will come. The master returns, we are told, after a long time, and he sets about immediately to settle accounts with his servants. The phrase, a long time, in this parable corresponds to the 2 previous parables. Remember the delay of the bridegroom and the wicked servant remarking that his master is delayed. It is clearly being asserted in all of these parables at the close of the public ministry of Jesus that the coming of the king, the bridegroom, and master is not immediate nor even soon. Here there is time for trade, time for life to take a more normal course. And so we must assume as well is the coming, or the parousia, of the Messiah. But when he does come, there is to be immediately a settling of accounts. The master has rightly expected that his money will have been put to good use. The first 2 servants come forward, as each has produced the same rate of return. They have doubled the money. The master's words then are warm and complimentary to both. The same to both servants. That one returns 10 talents to the other's 4 is irrelevant. They have done what was desired and expected, and to them each it is said, well done, good and faithful servant. And more important is that Jesus says, you have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. If 5 talents is a little, the much that follows will indeed be a great responsibility. As this parable is dealing with those responsible to the Lord, those designated to work for the Messiah, called to be his disciples, understand you don't cease ever from being a disciple. Faithfulness is one's calling, and responsibility does not free one, but gives you greater responsibilities. You are given much more to do. They will be rewarded with a position that will provide even a greater exercise of those abilities, for those abilities that he has shown to possess. We are shown once more the upside-down nature of the kingdom, its reversal of the world's value. You succeed greatly, and the more you do so, the more you are given to do. You don't rest on your laurels. And with these new and greater responsibility comes a change in status, a new relationship. Now they will share in the master's joy. They are to enter into the joy of their master. The words are not that of a master to servant, but hearken to a heavenly reward, an eschatological honor, entering into the joy of God's presence. The last servant, too, must give an account. He begins by defaming his master, describing him as a hard man, reaping where he does not sow, gathering where he did not winnow. So he says, "I was afraid, and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." The master calls the servant wicked and slothful. For if he believed those things about the master, then he should have at least done something with the money. And if in fact he truly thought of his master in this way as hard, he surely should have acted differently. He should have at least put the money with the bankers, actually with the money changers, so that at least there would have been some interest earned on the money. For all that was received was the money back, nothing more. He was afraid. Perhaps he would lose the money, uncertain of engaging in the risk of commercial ventures that the other two servants engaged in. But by playing safe, he achieved nothing. This parable is obviously not about venture capitalism or of high-yield investment accounts. It is about using effectively and energetically what one is given. And as this is about the kingdom, it is about working for the Lord until he returns to settle accounts. It is to attempt to be occupied in doing. It is putting oneself on the line, for is not risk at the heart of discipleship? This is, as Albert Schweitzer said, that a religion concerned only with not doing anything wrong in order that its practitioners may one day stand vindicated ignores the will of God. Here we speak not of moral error, but of fear of doing something that may turn out not to be the best. Sometimes you have to try, do something. One may have to put it back together, back up, and try again. But one is to try to do something. This servant has had the money for a long time and showed no interest in making any use of it, but left it in the ground. It is then necessary to take the money from him. And the master will give it to he who had the 10 talents, to one who will make the best use of it. Of course, Jesus is not putting his approval on cutthroat business practices that might enable those already wealthy to take from those who have much less. This is a description of spiritual life, a principle that too often is not grasped nor certainly highlighted. All have their own talent. And we are not now speaking of ancient accounts of money, but that one should use what they are given to its fullest, or in a spiritual sense, it will not last. And it is oh so true. We are to use one's gifts to the fullest, and we will find that gift or talent growing or improving, and the opportunities only multiplying. This is, as it is said, a truth of spiritual life, and we neglect it at our own peril. My wife and I have known so many gifted, those multi-talented, who have exercised what God's grace has bestowed upon them and seen their lives expand, ministries increase, becoming a blessing to all whom they touch, increasing God's kingdom. But sadly, we have seen the opposite, great gifts, immense talent, and then the effort is all to secure it for their own self-aggrandizement, their own enrichment. And we have witnessed the gift and talent dissipate and a bright future disappear. This is what Jesus means by being faithful in little things, a few things, and being appointed over many things. Success multiplies, and success means only more success, greater rewards. That servant that was unprofitable failed in all that could have been. And now the parable truly moves from a quaint portrayal of spiritual truths to an eschatological judgment, a prophetic view of what is to be for this last servant. He is to be condemned to outer darkness, where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Here is complete and utter rejection, expressed in regret, grief, and anger for what is now lost forever. This should put an end to the canard that somehow the goodness of God, His love, can be used, that surely such a God will not condemn us. Yes, God forgives sins, but He does not condone sin, nor excuse one's faithlessness. But there is also much those faithful, those who have so worked with what God has given, who are now invited into that new relationship with the Master. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over little. I will appoint you over many things. Enter the joy of your Master. This is what it really means to be ready for His coming. As in the earlier parable, when the servant found hard at work is rewarded, so too here. But even more may be revealed here, as R.T. France insightfully relates it. In this new age, such a reward of greater things than even 5 talents, which was a huge amount, to actually enter the joy of our Master. Is this not, if we will allow our vision to truly grasp what this might mean, the reward for such faithfulness, to be steadfast in our calling and love, is to share the authority of the enthroned Son of Man, to there see heaven, paradise, the kingdom that will be on earth as it is in heaven, as not some indolent or lazy existence, but an existence in active partnership, as relating in an active way with the very ongoing purpose of God, as well as the pure and indescribable joy of His favor. To bask in the unbearable brightness of His love. Is this perhaps why the universe is so vast, beyond our ability to describe? All so that we who are faithful might enter into the joy of our Master. O Lord, may we all appreciate that God has given each of us a measure of worth, a gift of His presence, a gift of His Spirit to so use for His kingdom, that we are called upon as disciples to not sit by and casually watch the world go to hell, but we are to be active in the presentation of the gospel with the Spirit's enablement, that we might indeed see the fruits of our labor, and indeed will see one day Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, all for Thy glory and in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
The last parable in Matthew's gospel, the parable of the talents, is one that should be very clear, for the message is unmistakable. We are to be about our Master's business until He returns. As we should know, discipleship is a serious undertaking. It is what is meant by being a Christian. So this is the topic of Thomas's and most timely book, The Question of Discipleship. What is a disciple and what does it mean? This is an important study. So just write and ask for The Question of Discipleship. It can be yours at no charge. We want you all to know just how much we appreciate all of our friends who support this ministry with your prayers and, yes, your kind gifts. And to those of you who are not yet a part of the Wings of Healing family, we pray that you would seriously consider supporting this ministry, which enables us to proclaim the wonderful Word of God throughout the world. Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you can contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. This year is near an end,
but God is not. As this from Fran, a Tess of Brighton, Colorado, who shares this, I have written so often concerning this problem and just felt there was no way out and nothing seemed to work. But you told me that God desires our persistence in prayer, so I kept at it. Then, quite surprisingly, everything is settled. Not as expected, but He has certainly fixed everything. The law, the courts, the lawyers, the involved parties, it's all over. There is peace in my life as well, and I believe prayer was the answer. So do I, Frank. And if you need prayer, Dennis will give our addresses once more at the close of the program. But now Aaron comes to sing this grand hymn, Jesus Paid It All. And because of that, we all will be able to enter in to the joy of our Master.
Savior say thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray and find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all, and all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power in thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of paid it all, all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries, a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. We do encourage you to write with any questions or prayer requests. And always, CDs of our programs are available if you will but write and ask. And this week, Dr. Wyatt is offering his newest and very timely study titled, The Question of Discipleship. This is important for all believers, so do write and ask for The Question of Discipleship. It can be yours at no charge. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at the same time and remember what God has promised to those who love Him.